It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Each time that this broadcast goes out, I'm reminded that it is a good life serving the Lord. And I hope that you have found that in your life, that it is a good life because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, today we continue our study on the subject of a bird's eye view. And of course, we've been going through the New Testament. We're in study number 18, the book of Philemon. Well, let me encourage you to get your Bible, if it's at all possible, and a pencil and a paper, a pen and paper, and write down some of the verses that we'll go through. Now, if you would do that and write down some of these scriptures, you'll be able to go back later and have a review and go through some of the things that we've discussed. Well, in the book of Philemon, we understand as we look at this book that it's a book of few words. In the King James Bible, we see that there are 445 words in this book. Certainly not a large book, but this book is very important, as all of the scriptures are, as we've studied and we've seen as we look at the Bible. Some people will try to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, but I would have you to understand that the entire Bible, it's the inspired Word of God. So it's all important. But as we go through these books of the New Testament, there are messages not only for those people to whom it was written at that time, but it's also good for us today to look at these books and to understand that they're also written to us for our benefit. And we go back to the Old Testament, we see the same thing. We gather things from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is unfolded in the New. It's all one book, the entire Word of God. Well, some of the background on this book is that Paul the Apostle was the one who, under the inspiration of God, wrote this book. And he wrote this book while a prisoner, and he was under house arrest in Rome. Well, Timothy was Paul's helper. And Philemon, first of all, in verses here, Philemon 1 and 19 talk about Timothy being Paul's helper. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And we know that Paul wrote this book, and in Philemon 19 it says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. So Paul was the author of this book of Philemon. Now keep in mind, he was the penman. God is the author. He is the true author of this book. He is the one that it is inspired. It's God-breathed. Well, the date that this book that we see that was written, it took place, could have been around 62 or 63 A.D., and this would have been near the end of Paul's ministry. Now, Philippians was written between 62 and 63, Colossians between 62 and 63 A.D., and Philemon between 62 and 63 A.D. Well, Ephesians was written, of course, between 62 and 63. See how close these books were written together, these epistles. We notice that Paul was a busy man. He was not only in prison, but he was writing letters to the churches and to the people of the churches. Luke was written around 63 A.D. as well, and Acts was also written around 64 A.D. 1 Timothy around 65 A.D., and Titus around 65 A.D. And, of course, the book of 2 Timothy around 66 A.D. Sometimes it's very important for us to get these things in our minds, how close these epistles were written together. Now, those dates may not seem important to you, but they are very important because this was when these books of the New Testament were written, and many of these were written as Paul was in prison, either in his first imprisonment in Rome or his second imprisonment. Well, the setting was, of course, while Paul was in prison, and we see that there was a man by the name of Onesimus, and this would have been a convert of Paul, and Philemon was the owner. Now, notice now, this man, we say he was the owner. This man was indebted to Philemon. Well, yes, back then, there were slaves, and Onesimus was Philemon's slave. But now, Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, and he wants Philemon to know certain things about this man who was working with Paul in Colossae at that time. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." In other words, he was sending someone back with Onesimus. They, the word they is there. Paul was sending this letter back to Philemon. Well, the key verses here would be, of course, Philemon 10, 11, and 17, I believe. And the theme of this book, I believe, can be summed up in three words: forgiveness, pardon, and compassion. We see that through the book, as Paul is admonishing Philemon to receive the slave, his slave Onesimus, we see this, and in verses 10, 11, and 17, the Bible says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Well, of course, this is Paul speaking. And in verse 11, it says, "which in time past was to thee," and in other words, to Philemon, in other words, he was unprofitable, "but now profitable to thee and to me." And verse 17 says, "if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." He was placing this Onesimus upon higher ground. In other words, he was saying, look, you respect me, now you need to respect Onesimus. He's asking Philemon to receive Onesimus as he would receive himself, Paul. So this man, Onesimus, had been forgiven of sin. He had received Christ as Savior. Paul had led him to the Lord. And now he was ready to go back to see Philemon. If you want to call him his owner, his boss, or the man who was done wrong by who was doing wrong, then whatever you would want to call this man, this Onesimus, he was going back. And a lot of times, back during this period of time, a slave would run away and end up in Rome. And that's no doubt how Onesimus met Paul. Of course, Paul was in Rome, but they would run away. These slaves would run away. They would many times steal from their owners, the people they lived with, and they would steal from individuals. Well, in this case, Onesimus had probably stolen from Philemon, and he, of course, was considered a property of Philemon at that time. But Paul says, "I want you to understand, Philemon, that this man has been saved. He's coming back. He's going to make restitution to you." Well, by sending Onesimus back to minister in the gospel is one of the purposes of this book as we read it. In Philemon 12, 13, it says, "whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, and that is mine own bowels." Well, in other words, receive him as you would receive me, whom I would have retained, Paul says, with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Well, I believe what Paul is saying here, instead of you being here, Philemon, I would keep Onesimus here, but he needs to come back to you, and I'm sending him there to you. Well, another reason is this. By receiving Onesimus as more than a slave now, Philemon was told to receive him more than a slave, now as a beloved brother. Philemon 16 says, "not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Well, God had made Onesimus a new creation, so Philemon needs to treat him like he has treated the rest of the saints. And at the same time, Onesimus' job does not need to change according to what Paul is telling Philemon. He would still work. When 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, "and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Well, we see in these scriptures that, and I've just read, that the Lord is reminding us and reminding the individuals who have ownership, or those people who are managers, or those people who are bosses, those people who have servants. They're to treat those people as they would treat themselves, as the Master in heaven would treat them. And they are to treat these people with respect. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a Master in heaven." Well, what are some of the lessons we can learn from this book of Philemon? We need to thank God for those in the ministry and pray for them. Philemon 4 says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." And verse 5 says, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." We see Paul's talking to Philemon here, and we are to refresh and uplift the hearts of the saints. We are to encourage those people who are around us. And that's one of the lessons we learn from Philemon. Philemon 7 says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Now, Paul is talking to Philemon in verse 20. He says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Refresh me, brother. Encourage me by receiving Philemon back, he's saying here. Receive him back into the fold, into your home, and as a servant, but above all, as a brother in Christ. Well, there are ways brethren can be helped to do what is proper according to this book. The church can order, first of all, a person to do what is right according to Philemon 8. It says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ," Paul says, "to enjoin thee that which is convenient." In other words, do what is right, he's telling Philemon. And we also see that the church can spread something across and get this across to a person through love. We can spread love. In Philemon 9, it says, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." You see, we can appeal to people to do what is right. Well, then we also see that appealing to our brethren for proper action allows godliness and love to be shown by the one appealing. Philemon 9 talks about that, and we also see that goodness and love can be shown by the one appealed to. Verse 5 says, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." Paul says love can be seen and shown by Philemon. He's speaking to Philemon. It can be shown by Philemon by the way he treats Onesimus. And Philemon 16 says, "Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Well, we can also understand that there can be a challenge to Christians based on their relationship with the Lord and the worth of other Christians. As a Christian today, do you show proper respect to your brothers and sisters in Christ? You need to respect each other. Each one of us needs to know that one day we'll be with the Lord. And God is no respecter of persons. We're all saved the same way, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him today and let God take your life and use you for His honor and His glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.